You know, I want to continue with Success Is Not an Accident. This is part three. I don't know. I didn't got a title here. Success, the sweet spot of success. How many of y'all played baseball or fast pitch softball like I did? You know, on a bat, they got a sweet spot, right? And that's where you want to hit it. Because that's where you get the most out of the hit, is if you hit the sweet spot. Well, you know, we all need to find our sweet spot for success. You know, find our purpose, really, in life. That's when you become successful, when you find your purpose and you begin to work in that area. And see, some people think that because you're talking about success, you're talking about being in the ministry. Well, you can have a job or a career and still be in the ministry, because you can be in the ministry of helps. And you see, we need to get the idea out of our head that all ministry is coming from the pulpit. There is more ministry that goes on one-on-one in a workplace or in a recreation than ever goes on behind the pulpit. In fact, you're ministering every day with your life. People are watching how you live. Come on, let's go. You know, so we need to be able to fulfill God's purpose for our life. And it may be working a job and our career. You know, God needs people. I got a book out there called, I just lost the name of it. The one I talk about, Everybody's a Minister. That's the title of one of the messages. I can't even think of the book. Is that the name of the book? I don't know. Anyway, I got so many books I forget the name. I wasn't intending to do that. But I talk in the book about that fact that God wants people in every walk of life. and so if you're going to be successful, you got to learn to fulfill your place in life. Now, from Joshua 1:8, that's been our scripture that we've gone from. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success in life. And then, I know we have a lot of visitors here and a lot of new people at the church. I try to make these Wednesday nights just an hour of power, and I just sort of, we're just having a conversation. Only it's a one-sided conversation. You know, I just want to just share with you and talk with you on the things of life. I like this. I've been getting some of this voice translation, and it's got some good stuff. Now, you know, you'll see me use different translations, and the reason I do is because sometimes if you read a scripture and go to another translation, you get another thought pattern on it. How many know what I'm talking about? It says, let the words from the book of the law always be on your lips. Meditate on them day and night, so that you may be careful to live by that is written in it. If you do, as you make your way through this world, you will prosper and always find success. Now, here, Joshua, God had a specific purpose in mind for Joshua to be successful. And he was to be both a spiritual and a national leader. And he was to lead the people into the promised land. You know, he had to oversee all their military, because if you go read, when they took the promised land, they have fought some battles, militarily wise, right? Go read about it. You know, now, if he decided to do something else, he would have never fulfilled everything that he needed to do. Now, we've said this before, true success is obeying God and doing his will. But we also could say that fulfilling our God-given purpose in life is true success. Now, having success depends on your realizing what you want to do in life, and then having a purpose for doing it. You know, somebody said to me the other day, said, you know, you go and you, I mean, just like I went to this, I taught Monday morning and then flew out and went to one of our Rhema leaders, one of our RMEI, their daughter passed away. I went there to the funeral and got back, you know, and then I had to teach today and then get ready for tonight. We got Sunday coming on. Somebody said, man, how do you do all that? And I said, that's my purpose in life. That's what I'm to do. That's what I do. You see, you may have a regular job, and that's what you do, and that's where your success, you're a success at it. God makes you a success in the natural so that you can come over and be in the church and be a success here working in the church. I mean, I look around here and I see a lot of my ushers with these red shirts on. They have other jobs. Tripp has a job working with Roy at the garage, or the Roy's his mechanic shop. But he serves here in the church, and he's very successful at what he does. William here is a salesman at Mathis Brothers, and a very good one, and he's very successful at it. But he also is successful in helping in the church because he had a purpose and he stayed faithful. Many people never have success because they don't stay faithful. It gets a little hard and they bail out. Oh, I'll go do something else. Come on now. You know, Clement Stone said, defineness of purpose is a starting point for all achievement. Winston Churchill said, it's not enough to have lived. We should be determined to live for something. I mean, somebody said, well, you do this and you do that. I said, it's what I get up for every day. It's what I get up for. That's why be determined to live for something. And John D. Rockefeller said, singleness of purpose is one of the chief essentials for success in life, no matter what may be one's aim. You know, every day we choose to achieve because we have set our mind on the purpose. Every day, we got a lot of them in here tonight, every day, the Rhema students that just come here, they have purpose to come to Rhema to study. And they get up and they get to class to do that. There are others of you in here that may be going to ORU or TU, and you have purpose to study. That's your purpose right now. Now your purpose may change when that time is over, but that's your purpose right now. And if you're not committed to your purpose, you will never accomplish it. You know, it's football season. I have two grandsons playing football. And Wesley, the eighth grader, and Trevor, my junior in high school. Now, both of them are committed to, that's what they purpose to play on the team. They purpose, they want to play football. Wesley, the eighth grader, he has to get up and go to practice he has to be at practice, I think it's at 6:30, or is it 6:30? He has to be there. And then they practice then all the way through the first hour, and then they go to their second hour class, I think it is. I don't know. Anyway, something like that. Because the facilities are being used in the afternoon by the junior varsity and the varsity guy, the high school kids. All right. Hey, he's got to be committed to that. And you know, you got to be committed if you're going to do anything. When I ran track in 1957, May of 1957, I ran into state track meet in Oregon. I was going to Canyonville Bible Academy in Canyonville, Oregon. I was committed. In fact, I was one of the ones that they never had a track team before. I was one of the ones that talked to some of the guys into starting a track team, and we got the history teachers that knew a little bit about track to be our coach, because we had to have a coach. And so we went and bought our own short running shorts, our own shoes, and our baton that we used in the relays was cut off of my broomstick. I cut off my broom in my room, and I had a short broom to sweep with because we cut that off. Because the school didn't have no money to sponsor us, and we had a basketball team, so we went and talked to Coach Fenderson. I played basketball too, and so he let us borrow those singlets that they used to wear in basketball. Now they got the regular t-shirts, but how many remember when they used to wear those singlets? And so he let us borrow those and that was our uniform. But we were committed to do what we started out to do. And they called us the Cinderella Seven. We were a B school, but they called us the Cinderella Seven because we made seven of us. We made the state meet, and they called us the Cinderella Seven. But we were purposed and we were committed to success. You never get success if you're not committed to the purpose. Now, you got to know why you're doing something. In Acts 26:15, Paul is talking before King Agrippa, and he said, So I said, Are you Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, of whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of things which you have seen and things which I will reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, for the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who were sanctified by faith in me. Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Paul's secret for his success is that he wasn't disobedient to his purpose, what he was called for. His whole Christian life can be summed up right here in these verses. I was not disobedient. Paul had his experience on the Damascus road, then it became his consuming purpose. Before that, his consuming purpose was killing Christians. He was there. He was the one that was holding the coats and telling them to throw more stones at Stephen. Now here he is. He's consumed with a new purpose. Now, he went on to say in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I do not count myself to apprehend it, but one thing I do, forgetting things which are behind, reaching forward toward the thing which are ahead. He forgot everything that was behind, and he continued to press forward. If you're going to be a success, you've got to forget whatever happened in yesterday. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent, doesn't make any difference. If you're going to be success, you got to press on and forget it. My eighth grader, he's a quarterback, and he throw the interception. And so this was a couple years ago when he was playing. And I said, hey, listen. You just throw the interception. You came back right back the next play, and you threw a 30-yard pass for a touchdown. I said, doesn't it bother you when you throw an interception? He said, no, because that play is over. Nothing can be done about it. We got to go. I got to go the next play. I don't worry about that play. I can't do nothing about it. So I threw an interception. So I did. Well, it happens. But you see, that's what we've got to get used to in life. What happened back there, it happened, okay? Now, if you're going to be successful, you got to press on here and forget that. Because there's nothing you, I don't care how much you think about it. I don't care how much you analyze it. There's nothing you can do about it. It's history. It's already happened. It's been written on the pages of your history of your life. But what happens tomorrow, there's a clean slate. And if you're going to be successful, you got to learn to do that. You see, if you ever notice, Jesus knew what he came here for. He said in Luke 9:56, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. And then he said again in 1 John 3:8, the last part of that verse, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He knew what he came for. See, people, you need to know why you're doing something. Why are you going to work? Well, number one reason I go to work is because I got to have some money to pay my bills. That's the purpose to go to work. Why do I come up there in that office, then teach classes, preach here, go out and do crusades, go minister to people that are in need? Because that's what I do. I go out on those crusades because I help raise money to support Rhema Bible College. Come on. See? You got to know what you do. Why are you doing something? See, these new students that have come in here, what are they here for? They're here to learn. And if they're going to be successful, they're here to learn and they will discover what their God-given purpose is in life. That's what they're here for. You remember in 2 Samuel 18, Absalom, David's son, you know, he had come against him and he had caused a coup, and he's going to overthrow his dad as the king. And so the army went out after him. And so in 2 Samuel 18, about 21, then Joab said to the Cushite, go tell the king what you've seen. So the Cushite bowed himself to Joab. Now, what he was going back to tell the king that they had Absalom was dead and they had conquered all of those renegades. And so now, then another guy come, Amenahaz, and he wanted to run. And Joab said, well, the Cushite's already gone, and he has the message. But he kept saying, I want to run. So whatever happens, let me run. So he told him, said, run. So he outrun the Cushite. And when they got to the king was sitting out by the gate, and the watchman on the tower cried out to the king, told him, said, hey, here comes somebody running alone. The king said, well, he has news in his mouth. And so they drew nearer. And here he came. He got there, and he said, "He said, I think the runner's like the. There's another one running too, but I see one, and he looks like a Himahes. And he said, oh, he's a good man. He'll come with good news. When he got there, the king said, well, what's the news? He said, all is well. And so the king told him, is the young man safe? And he said, when Joab sent the king's servant and me, your servant, I saw a great tumult, but I don't know what it was about. And the king told him, said, stand aside. When a Cushite came, then he came with the message. See, one guy run just to be running. And he outrun the guy with the news. But it didn't do him any good, and it didn't do the king any good. Because all he was doing was running. He had no message. He had no purpose. His purpose was to run. That's what he did. He ran. That's all it was to it. But when the other one, the Cushite, when he was running with a purpose. His purpose was to get to the king and deliver him a message. See, we need to realize that if you run without purpose, you end up being unsuccessful. But if you run with purpose, living your life with purpose, then you will be successful. If you live your life with no purpose, you're like the one that run with no message. See? If you know your purpose and you know why you're doing something, it'll help you stay in the right, on the right road. It'll help you see yourself to your destination. Now, divine purpose helps you have the right motive for having success. In Proverbs 19:21, it says, you can make plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. The Message Bible says, we humans keep brainstorming options and plans, but God's purposes prevail. See, you can do many various things in life for many different reasons, but is it in the right season, and is it for the right reason? Or is it in the wrong season or for the wrong reason? Remember, we were talking about the other time that there's a season. In fact, I talked about that Sunday morning. I talked about the season. See, now, you know, some people are doing good things, and there's nothing wrong with it, but why are they doing it? You see, Rainbow Bible College started because God said start it. There is a lot of people in a lot of churches that have started Bible colleges just because we had one. And some of them have not been very successful. It's because they were just doing it because somebody else was doing it. You know, a person can do a good deed, but if you take advantage of another person to benefit yourself, you're not going to be successful. But if a person does the same good deed for somebody and their motive is to fulfill God's purpose and to bless somebody, they'll be blessed. You know, you got to realize that some people on their journey to success try to take advantage of others so that they can be successful. Sometimes they even cheat so they can come out ahead on a deal. That's not God's way. You know, as a Christian, you need to know that you don't take advantage of people. If you don't take advantage of people, you'd be successful. You know, some people, as they're following a plan for success, they get distracted by something else that's going on. Many people get distracted out of a church because they see something going on over here and they run over there. And they won't be there very long and there'll be something going on in another church and they'll run over there. You'll find that those people are never, never spiritually successful and they're always wondering why they're in need and want. Somebody said, I never heard that before. Well, you already heard my dad preach. I heard him say it many times. Maybe he said it a little more diplomatically than I did, but I just say it like it is, huh? You know, some people want to be like others because they see that it's successful. That's why some people start some Bible schools, because they see ours. Oh, I'll do the same thing. And then some people get in trouble because people won't talk that, well, we ought to do this and we ought to do that. Do you know how many times they had tried, and over the years, they nobody does it anymore, but they tried to get me to start a regular, you know, grade school, junior high, high school, and all that. How many times have we gotten letters? And I tell them, that's not what we do. That's not what God told us to do. That's not our purpose. Somebody else can do that. It's a good thing. Nothing wrong with it. See, now hear what I'm trying to do. If you're going to be successful, you got to stay where God's got you. You can't jump and do something else. You know, they Feed the Hungry program. In fact, the guy that was head of it got upset at me because I wouldn't get involved. I said, that's not my call. That's not what I do. I'm Bible. Go teach my people faith with the printed page and the media and the Bible school. That's what we do. And we've been doing it ever since. Brother Hagin, my father, started Kenneth Hagin Ministries in, 1962, I think it was, when he started it. And we've been doing the same thing. That's our purpose. We stayed with our purpose. See, you got to stay with your purpose. Now, he may change you. I mean, my purpose was to start the Bible school. I did that in September 1974. But in October of 1985, God began. Well, before that, he dealt with me. So in October 1985, I started Rainbow Bible Church because he had led me. That's another purpose he led me into. Where you are now, be successful there. Do what you do wherever you're at, both naturally and spiritually. See, I told you I like to do these messages where the same principles will work for you spiritually and naturally. In fact, hey, we are a spiritual being and we're a natural being at the same time. And I say it like this, the natural and the supernatural working together make the explosive force for God. It's not all supernatural, but it's not all natural. You got to put them together. Come on now. You see, you got to realize that if you're going to accomplish and be successful, you got to have passion. You got to want it. There's some other words for passion include desire, zeal, fervor, hunger, thirst, craving. How many of you ever played on a ball team, a basketball, football, baseball, whatever, and a coach come in the locker room and he said, how bad do you want it? Huh? Because if you don't have the passion to go make it happen, you're going to go out there and play a game and that's all they're going to be to it. There ain't going to be no victory. There ain't going to be no victory party. Come on now. You've got to have passion. It comes from within, a desire from within. And it becomes your motivating factor. It has to become greater than anything around, any obstacle, anything else. You know, you got to find yourself where you're supposed to be. Caleb followed God's plan passionately. But he had to wait 40 years to actually possess his mountain. You go read the story. Caleb went over there as one of the spies. He came back. Him and Joshua, the only two of the old bunch that went in. They went in, and Caleb then came to Joshua and said, okay. He said, I may be 40 years older now. I'm 40 and 5 years old. I mean, 80 and 5, 80, I'm 85 years old. But I'm well able to take the mountain because he still had the passion to go take that mountain because that's the one he said he wanted when he came back. He told Moses that's the mountain he wanted when they got over. And he took the mountain. Why? Because that was his purpose, that was his desire, and that was his passion. You know, passion provides the momentum for you to continue when things seem impossible. Been there, done that, bought the hat, and went on down the road. Achieving success is not easy. It takes something that most people don't like, W-O-R-K. And actually, I should have put H-A-R-D in front of that, W-O-R-K. Achieving success, it requires a great amount of energy. And without that passion from within, you'll never experience it. You know, Annette, Craig, Denise, and I, we have passion for Rhema. We live, breathe, and eat Rhema. Now, when I'm talking about Rhema, I'm talking about Rhema Bible Church, Rhema Bible Schools all over the world, the publications, the radio, the TV program, all of that. It's our passion. It's our purpose. And we give it everything we got. This just didn't get here because I wished it to be here. When we bought that first building on the corner right there, yours truly was up there building walls and taking up carpet and sanding down the glue off of the concrete. Hello? We didn't buy the building until June, and we started school in September. And there was a lot of work to be done. And there wasn't no money. So, I did it. With some help from some other people. You see, when I was working for my father-in-law, I had a purpose. I was there. I was for him. I was working as associate pastor. I built buildings. I done all that kind of stuff. And when I got here, I never knew I needed it, but when I got here, I needed everything I learned working for him for 6 years. Passion. I don't know how to say it. I've always had that in me. In fact, my dad built it in me all my life. He said, son, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right, or don't do it at all. I never stepped on a ball field, a softball, baseball, basketball court, football field, and running track that I didn't step on that with, I'm going to win. I've never stepped on a platform to preach a message that I don't give it everything I got. That's what brings success. You can never be a success by half-heartedly being involved in something. You can't be a success at your job by half-heartedly doing it. You got to put everything you got in it. Sometimes you may have to stay late. You may have to go in early. You know who a pastor looks for in his church to give a job to? The busiest person in the church. Because he knows that they'll get it done. I didn't say that. I heard an elderly minister say that. He said, you don't want to give a job to somebody that's just sitting around, because he said that's what they're going to do. They're going to sit around. Say it. Success. Success. Spiritually.
Spiritually.
And naturally.
Naturally.
Comes.
Comes.
With passion.
With passion.
And purpose.
And purpose.
And hard work.
And hard work.
Anybody get anything out of this tonight?
Yes.
I just wanted to encourage you. Hey. No matter where you are, I don't care how hard it gets, you keep on going. Don't care how hard it gets. You know, I went in the Army October 1962. And everybody told me how hard it's going to be and what those old sergeants were doing. I don't think they do it as much today as they did back then, but man, they were mean. They kick you in the seat of the pants. Even hit you occasionally, and nobody said anything about it. And I'll tell you what, on that ride from Dallas, Texas to Fort Linderman, Missouri on that bus, I told all them guys I was with, I said, nobody will break me. I will go through this course with flying colors, because I made up my mind. I was committed to it. I was going to succeed, and I did. When you succeed and those old sergeants see it, then you start getting some perks. And the guys that are just loafing around, they're the ones getting the guard duty in the KP. How many of you guys have been in the military know what I'm talking about? Isn't that the truth? But gee, I made up my mind before I got there. I told my dad before I left. I said, and I told my uncle Pat, because he'd been in the Navy and they were there at the house. And I said, I'm committed right now. I'm going in this thing. And I'll come out of boot camp with flying colors. Nobody, they're not gonna. But that's it comes from the passion on in the purpose and the commitment. The same thing is true in the spiritual world. You can't afford to let the devil come in. You got to tell him, hey, I'm committed to this thing. Nothing is going to stop me. The three Hebrew children, they said, we believe God's going to deliver us, but they were so committed to God, they said, even if he does, we're still not going to bow to your old image, King. See, a lot of people say, well, see, one of them was their faith talking, the other one was their commitment. When you committed to something, God will come through. Oh, stand up. I've gone 7 minutes over. I just trust y'all got something tonight. But I want you guys to be a success in life. Every part of your life. Remember, Abraham became a success in every part of his life, both spiritually and naturally. He became the richest man in the East. Glory to God. Father, tonight I talk to these people about success. Success is a good word in the Bible. You talk about people being successful. You say that you'll make their way prosperous and successful. Now help us to understand those principles and have the purpose and the commitment and the passion to carry it out to success, to succession. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hey, the first way to start to be a success is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the first step. If you're here tonight and you've never done that, the ladies are here and the men are over here. You need to come down here. They'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. If you know what it is, but you know you're not exactly where you're supposed to be and you need to recommit yourself, then come on down here. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit, if you need somebody to pray with you about anything, just come to the front and they'll pray with you. And you won't leave here like you came in that front door up there, the side door, whichever door you came in, the back door back there at the south, and whichever door you came in. We got four of them over here in four lobbies. Amen. Hey, remember all the announcements? Hey, Sunday morning right here. It's going to be a great time. But remember the announcements? We need to bring the candy. We need, ladies, you need to sign up for the women's conference. Hey, guys, you need to start talking it up. November, we got men's conference. And it's going to be a good one, too. We need to start talking it up. All of you got Facebook pages, start putting on there, hey, are you coming to the conference? Put it up there. Get it out there. Hey, that's the best way. That's the best advertisement, all right? Hey, turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, I'm going to be a success. I'm committed to it. How about you? If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, come to the front right now. If you need prayer for any reason, come to the front right now. God bless you.